Hi everyone, and welcome to Rewatchable, episode number 153. Today we are discussing Buffy the Vampire Slayer, season 2, episodes 15, Phases, and 16, Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. As usual, if you'd like to get into contact with us, you can hit us up through email at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at re_watchable, this post on hypeable.com, or any of our other Buffy-centric posts, and you can find us on Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. I'm Karen, and today I am joined by Caitlin, Kristen, and Ariana. Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start with our fun facts. I'm going to go first, and I apologize, Kristen, if this was yours, but last night we finished Daredevil Season 2, which was very exciting, and I kind of want to just rewatch it all, which I probably will do. And let's see. Caitlin, what's yours?
My fun fact is I'm through 7 episodes of Daredevil, but by the time this goes live, I'm sure I'll be done.
You liking it so far?
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it on Hero Hype, but I have thoughts.
Okay, that's good. Kristen?
I'm going to go with, I have been rewatching Vampire Diaries because I've got like busy work and things to do. So I've been throwing in the old seasons, and I started at the beginning and I discovered that Mama McCall from Teen Wolf is in a single episode and she's great as you expect her to be. And it made me smile.
I may have like run across the hall into her room when she told me that. I'd be like, rewind it, rewind it. It was great.
I was like, Karen, it's Mama McCall. I forgot, like, when the show first aired, I think this was second season, or maybe may have been first. When it first aired, like, I didn't know who she was. So she was just a lady, but now she's Mama McCall.
Also Stephen Amell.
Mm-hmm. Who I also just saw. Yeah. He's a scary werewolf. Yeah. He was a jerk. He was a major jerk. Oliver's better.
And Ariana, what's your fun fact?
My fun fact is that today there's an article going up about sorting the Avatar characters into Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. And all the rewatchable people helped me, and that was lovely. Thank you.
Yay. Cool. All right, let's get into our discussion. We're going to start with episode 15, Phases. Here's our synopsis. In this episode, the canon is strong with this one, as in the misogyny, as Seth Green's Oz is a 1930s werewolf from London. When hormone-crazed teens are attacked by a giant dog, Buffy goes hunting to trap the beast. A hunter named Kane thinks that Buffy's being a woman makes her lesser than, so she dutifully kicks his ass into tomorrow and Hagrid's his shotgun. That's accurate. Meanwhile, Xander fake comes out to a bully named Larry, while Angel continues to send threatening messages to Buffy. So that's pretty it in a nutshell. And this is quite the interesting episode, and really kicks off, I think, Oz being more at the forefront of the show. And so we find out that he's a werewolf, and I'd really like to know from the newbies if you knew this already. Now, Kristen, unfortunately, you did, right?
Yes. I was well aware that Oz was a werewolf, and I knew that Oz was Seth Green. So as soon as he kind of showed up, I just wondered how long it was going to take us to figure it out. I'm glad that it happened kind of soon, like basically within, 5 to 10 episodes, so that now it's not like lingering over my head like he's going to become this thing. So, yeah, but I did unfortunately know.
I did as well. Yeah, I unfortunately did as well. I know it sucks that you guys have us today, because I know Mitch was super surprised and he had the best reaction to this. So unfortunately you've got us, but I did know. Although what I was surprised by that it happened so soon, like Kristen said, I really thought it would happen like a couple seasons in. So like season 3 or 4. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, I mean, sometimes it's okay to know. Sometimes that means you can look at it from a different perspective, too. But, Caitlin, obviously you watched this a while ago. The first time you did watch it, did Larry effectively throw you off? Or did you kind of know that it was going to go in another direction? Do you even remember? Because I'm not sure I do.
I do not remember. Though rewatching, I think that Larry was a good diversion, though. It was a little obvious. It was kind of like so obvious with the dog bite and everything. That's like, well, clearly it's not him because it's too obvious.
And did you guys know, newbies, what Larry was actually, like, obviously he comes out in this episode. Did you guys kind of see that coming? Because upon rewatch, I was like, God, they let this linger for quite a while. The back and forth between Larry and Xander and the whole, like, you're right, like, I need to just tell somebody, I need to just do it. And I was like, it went on a little too long for me upon rewatch. But newbies, did you know what he was going to say?
I don't think I did. I knew probably about 30 seconds before Xander did. Like, I kind of put it together before Larry said it, but, like, maybe right before. It wasn't like I knew the whole time or anything.
I mean, I did because, like, thanks to shows like Glee now, the trope of the bad guy's gay, like, is super, I feel like, prevalent now. Which, I mean, is its own thing. I wonder how people feel about that. I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I guess now, back then, it would have been new. So that's something. But it's also a little bit annoying that it's always like, oh, you know, he's so mean because he's gay.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. And Kristen and I were talking about it definitely has, like, a Glee feel to it with Kromsky. Which is interesting, but yeah, it has its own issues, but I'm still glad that they decided to put that story as part of the plot in this episode. I think it's important to note that too.
I actually really liked that he ended up being, like, nice afterward, though. Yes. Like, he was, like, a nice guy, and he was cool, and they didn't do that gross thing where, like, all of a sudden now he's in love with Xander. But Xander, of course, was disgusting as always, and then as soon as he found out that the guy was gay, like, oh no, I can't talk to him now.
That's worse than being a werewolf.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was I still can't decide if that was the show not handling it well or if that's Xander kind of part of Xander's story too, which I don't really want to get into yet, but we could probably talk about at a later date. But yeah, it was, I didn't really like how he acted around him in the end, especially because Larry was so nice and he wasn't being in his face about it. He was being very kind.
He was just like, hey, thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Well,
I think part of it's that he was, and this is also very gross, so don't get me wrong, that, like, he's reacting to Larry thinking he's also gay. So he's, like, reacting out against that, which is very gross in its own way, obviously.
Yeah, the idea that it's wrong to be considered that when you're not, and yeah, it's not good. Let's talk about something else that's not great, which is the werewolf costume. Very funny, Harry. I turned to Chris and I was like, this is not Teen Wolf Werewolf, which is very sexy these days. Maybe that's a good thing, but what did you guys think of the werewolf suit? Kristen, you go first.
Yeah, it's bad. It's so bad. Like, it just looks like that, like, quintessential werewolf suit that, like, you rent from the costume shop and wear for Halloween if you want to be, like, totally crazy. Yeah, wasn't impressed with the way they decided to make Oz the werewolf look, but, you know, it is what it is. And I don't really expect, like, crazy amazing wolf CGI or anything. I'm kind of glad they didn't go the werewolf is an actual wolf thing, just because I feel like that can be kind of unpredictable. I like that he's like a humanoid wolf form, but it, you know, it's still good fun.
Cool. Adriano, how did you feel about it?
I had no strong feelings towards it.
Did you?
I mean, it's pretty terrible looking back on it now, which I just sort of laughed. I was like, this is the high quality that I expect from Buffy. I love it.
I will say that it's better than the Wendigo from Charmed. The Wendigo from Charmed kind of gives me nightmares even to this day. So I feel like it's a little better than that. But it's interesting seeing, you know, the werewolf hopping around and doing all of this stuff. But I kind of love it because it is terrible, I guess. And, okay, so, yeah, Oz is a werewolf. He was bitten by his cousin, Jordy. And I know there's a question here, what infected him, the Hellmouth, but it was actually his cousin, Jordy, which is interesting in its own right, I guess. It's sort of an outside source that you don't see happening. It was an accident. It was like a baby. And for me, as an origin story to a werewolf, it's quite different, and I liked it.
I didn't even realize that's what happened. I was so confused when he called his cousin. I was like, are they like a family of werewolves? I don't understand. But okay, so his baby cousin bit him. Mm-hmm. And his baby is a werewolf.
Yes. They dropped that bit earlier in the episode where he said, you know, he's got some teeth on him or something like that, and he had like a band-aid on his finger, I think, or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of had to put the pieces together a little bit, but yeah, that was what happened. I don't know if it sounded like they were aware that Jordy was a werewolf, that they also knew.
I know, which was so bizarre, because he was just like, oh, okay, thanks.
Yeah. Let me just ask, is Jordy a werewolf? Okay, cool. It's so Oz.
It is.
And I just sort of imagine his family being totally like him, like that chill kind of monotone of Oz. I kind of imagine that whole family in that way, and it just kind of makes everything even better.
Yeah, it does. And I know for Caitlin and Kristen in particular, like, Supernatural shows kind of our jam. Like, we've seen a lot of them. A lot of them involve werewolves. Caitlin, obviously, I know Supernatural is a big one for you and has been for a long time. Do you like the kind of different way that this originated?
Yeah, I mean, I always appreciate when the shows take a slightly different take on a mythology like that. So I always like seeing something slightly different with each show, because it gets boring if everyone does it exactly the same.
Yeah, and Kristen, you've done a lot of research on, this sounds really crazy, on werewolves. For Hypeable, I promise, it's a fandom thing. Have you come across any others that are, like, slightly different, like this one?
And yes, that does sound kind of funny. I'm not Kane, I promise. I'm trying to think. I don't remember a lot of, like, their origins. A lot of it usually has to do with heredity. Like, it's usually a family line or something that becomes active or whatever. I don't know if werewolves usually are turned by a bite. Usually that's a vampire thing. So the fact that Oz was bitten by his cousin and that's what made him a werewolf is new for me. Like, usually it's some sort of trait that you've passed down and it becomes activated at a certain age or because of a certain event or something like that. Because I know that's how it goes in Vampire Diaries, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure that's how it was in True Blood. I'm trying to remember how Alcide was turned. I don't know if we ever even found that out. But yeah, so not a whole lot of variety on the werewolf front. So it being an active bite from a baby cousin is really cute and adorable, and I didn't catch it either, Ardiana, so it wasn't just you.
Yeah, in Teen Wolf they do both hereditary and the bite thing,
yeah,
which is interesting. But yeah, I like this kind of origin story to Oz's werewolfness a lot, actually. I think it is quite nice. But moving on, we've got some references to past episodes in this one in particular, which I really liked. Big one is the witch, the cheerleading trophy, when Oz is like, it follows you. I thought that was
really, like it.
Yeah, it was a really funny thing, and obviously becomes relevant for the next episode, which I like that they set it up like that. It's really clever.
Yeah, I was as soon as they did that, I was like, I feel like this is going to come back, which is exciting because that was like a pretty pivotal episode, it seemed like, at the beginning.
Yeah, definitely. And I just like any time you can catch those moments, especially when you're rewatching and you know what's coming. You can be like, oh, that's going to be important 3 episodes from now. And it's always nice when shows try to make their stories intricate like that. We also got reference to the pack because Xander let slip that maybe he remembers what happened while he was a hyena. And I also love this because, one, like, throwback, it's something that they didn't have to add. It wasn't, like, pivotal to how they figured things out, but it was interesting to see Buffy kind of calling him out on remembering. It was pretty funny.
I can't imagine being, like, remembering eating your principal. Like, I just can't. I feel really bad because that would be gross.
Of all the things I face, that would be the most traumatic.
Yeah.
I kind of agree. That's actually really horrible.
Or the pig.
Anyway. I still refuse to believe anything negative happened to the pig. It's
fine. He escaped. It's cool.
There was no body of the pig.
Yes, this is true. And then we get the introduction of Cain, this hunter who's just so gross. I mean, Ariana, you put in here, well, it's good to get the fruit while it's fresh. He says a lot of terrible things, and I just want to punch him in the face.
That was Mitch actually did this doc.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyone else have just hateful thoughts about him, or are we just basically in agreement that he was terrible?
And he's kind of over the top and how terrible he is. Yeah. Like, you have to be, like, trying really hard to be that awful.
Although, maybe a year ago, I would have been like, this just isn't realistic. But now we have, like, Trump supporters, so...
That's true.
I mean, yeah, when we watch these shows, we're like, God, you know, they're such caricatures of how people really are. But you know what? There are people like this in the world. There are people worse than this in the world. And I think it's, as ridiculous as it seems on screen, I think it's important to remind yourself of that every once in a while, and it's also really satisfying to see Buffy get a one-up on him in the end.
Well deserved. Like, when she bends the gun, basically, like, the best thing ever.
It is. Oh, it's so satisfying. And then we get more Angel in this episode as well, and Teresa is the one that kind of comes up against him, and he's smooth. But also, maybe this is just because we know how terrible he is right now, like how evil he is. I feel like some alarm bells should have been going off.
Yeah, definitely. He's like a strange man. He looks like he's 25, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm friends with Buffy. And then, like, he's walking with you at night. Like, dumb girl. No.
In a town that has the mortality rate that Sunnydale does.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe she was just going with the lesser of two evils then? Like, maybe she was creeped out, but she definitely heard noises behind her. And she was like, well, he seems safer than whatever I can't see back there.
Okay, sure, but didn't she go to his house? I don't remember. I remember it being, like, weird. Like, him being like, okay, we can go to my house or something.
He's like, let me, like, he was gonna walk her home.
Yeah.
Is what he was offering. And obviously it's not what happened.
I mean, I guess you don't expect to get, like, something bad to happen. Like, obviously you wouldn't get in somebody's car. But if you're walking home anyway, you're like, well, at least I'm going home. Like, I'm going to a safe destination.
I think it's also kind of the devil you know versus the devil you don't.
Okay. And then, as always, we have this sort of, like, werewolf-vampire rivalry. I mean, we've seen that pretty much everywhere, and you don't get a whole lot of it in this episode, but this sort of, like, them not really attacking each other kind of thing. What do you think the actual relationship is in this universe? Like, whether they really fear each other, whether it's just smarter to kind of stay out of each other's grips. Any theories moving forward how the whole werewolf thing could play into a show that's titled Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which, you know, vampires are always going to be at the forefront.
Seeing as Buffy doesn't necessarily take the most serious route when it comes to these things. Like, vampires are not nearly as formidable, with the exception of, like, Spike and Angel, as you expect them to be all the time. I'm gonna go with werewolves and vampires, like, basically get along, like, slash ignore each other. Like, they try not to get in each other's way, yeah, rather than, like, being at odds and being, you know, blood enemies or something silly like that. I'm gonna go with they just kind of give each other space in this world.
You know what I just thought of? It's really bizarre that the baby wasn't a werewolf when he bit Oz. You know what I mean? Like, usually isn't it just like when they're in their wolf form? Because then if the baby, whenever he bites somebody, turns into a werewolf, that would mean, like, Oz, like, when he's making out with Willow, he has to, like, be careful. He doesn't accidentally bite her.
I mean, she does say no biting. Yeah, that is interesting.
I don't know. It sort of feels like the kind of thing that won't get brought up very often unless there's a full moon. Because he can only turn into it when there's a full moon. So probably just when the plot requires that there be a full moon so he can save people or cause havoc.
I was going to say, if he doesn't really know that he's doing it. Yeah. I mean, that is interesting. The whole idea of, like, okay, three nights a month, he's a werewolf, and this idea of Cain, who thinks that you should put him down because three nights he's a beast and he can't help killing, whereas everybody else is sort of like, except all the other days he is an actual person. Do you think that Buffy, given how hard it was and how much havoc he was wreaking, would have been like, well, maybe we should? Except it was Oz, and of course she couldn't say that. Do you think she was starting to give in at the end? Ariana, do you have any...
Oh, yeah. I think she was. Because, I mean, it's true. He could have done some really bad stuff. It's pure luck that nobody died. And, yeah, I mean, if he had gone into the bronze on night three and killed, like, 20 people, she probably would have regretted not doing something about it earlier.
And then, Kristen, moving forward, how do you think they're going to handle this? Do you think it's going to always be a problem, or do you think this was, like, the issue episode, and then moving forward, they'll just be like, well, you know, Oz is home tonight, chained to the wall in his basement.
Well, I'm assuming this isn't just going to pass by, because it seems, you know, Oz has kind of become a central character pretty quickly here, so I'm assuming that they didn't just make him a werewolf for an episode and we're going to let it pass. I assume that this is going to be a thing, and either he'll be a help because of his werewolfness, or it will be a colossal hindrance and something they have to, like, deal with. And you know, it's something Willow and Oz will definitely have to make arrangements for and deal with themselves. So I'm pretty sure it's not just going to slide by unnoticed.
Caitlin, where does this episode rank for you in terms of favorites, or, you know, even if it's not in your tops, like, how do you feel about this one in general?
Not one of its the strongest. I mean, it does some good things, I think, for bringing Oz to the forefront, but definitely not an episode I rewatch with any regularity. I feel like the supporting things going around the Oz story just don't work that well for me, so this is not one of my favorites.
I definitely don't disagree with you, but this actually is one that I really like and would be willing to rewatch. Maybe not all the time, not as much as some of the other ones, but I really like the idea of an episode being centered around Oz and, you know, finding out that he's a werewolf, and the Willow and Oz moments really save this episode for me. I enjoy them quite a lot, which, you know, in the end, like, they do have this really cute back and forth, and it, you know, seems like they're going to be okay despite him being a werewolf now. Do you guys like that, newbies? Do you guys like that they're kind of working on it, that they're willing to go out and everything despite all of this? Or do you think that's ill-advised?
No, definitely. Even though Oz is a werewolf, he's still the best guy at that school. The other guy sucks, so.
Yeah, it's almost like he was too perfect before. Like, there had to be something wrong because he has been the perfect boyfriend slash suitor slash, you know, he courted her so well. So, like, something had to be not ideal about him. So the fact that it's, you know, that he's a werewolf kind of takes care of it. So it's like, okay, the bad news is out now. And we can move forward from here because it's doable. You can work around the whole werewolf thing. It's only once a month.
Yeah, it's fine. By the way, I showed Kristen the little Pop Funko figurine of Oz, and she may have melted into a puddle when she saw his cute little spiky hair.
Swoon. So much swooning.
Okay, let's jump into favorite scenes for this episode. Mine, we already talked about a little bit, just Larry being nice at the end, because it was so great to see him, you know, pick up, I think he picked up the girls' books and then went right over to Xander and was, you know, just very genuine. And I love that he didn't feel like he needed to keep up that act of being just terrible and instead, you know, decided to do something good and decided that his experience in the locker room with Xander was a positive one and that he felt more comfortable moving forward. It was really nice. Kristen, what about you?
Mine was definitely Giles and Buffy meeting Kane, like, out in at, like, Lookout Point or wherever that place was. Like, Kane was a total jerk face, and I kind of suspected he was going to be. So as, like, they're meeting and he's making all, like, the inferences to, like, Giles and Buffy being out there, I was like, oh my god, this guy is a total jerk. So I quite like that scene. It's ridiculous, but funny.
And Ariana?
I liked when Oz called his family because I just thought his delivery was so funny. He's just like, so is he a werewolf? He is? Okay, thanks.
Especially for a one-sided conversation, like you can't hear what they're saying and it's just, it makes it even funnier for me. I don't know. Caitlin?
So we didn't really talk about this, but we see a lot of hints that Cordelia and Willow are starting to, yes, like, bond over the fact that Xander is awful. And so every time we have, like, we see them hang out, they were at the Bronze together, and then at another point, like, Willow goes off to see Cordelia. So, like, every time those two get together, I adore it. Because it's just like, Xander sucks. We're the Xander Sucks fan club.
It's really great seeing their relationship develop like that, because, you know, she was so angry a few episodes ago. And to be fair, she wasn't angry at Cordelia. She was definitely angry at Xander, but she's had her issues with Cordelia for a long time. And the fact that they can find common ground, even if it is, you know, that Xander sucks, is just, it's really nice. And I like the girl power bonding there.
And Cordelia is just spending more time with that group and it's like not caring all that much about it. Like, she's getting involved in all these crazy things that they deal with. Like, she was involved with the judge stuff and everything. So I just enjoy seeing Cordelia get pulled into this group more.
Yeah, definitely. All right, favorite lines. Mine is at the end between Willow and Oz, because god, they're so adorable. It's unfair. But Willow says, so I'd still if you'd still. And Oz says, I'd very still. And I love that they have their own language, their own understanding. They're both awkward and weird and shy, and they get each other, and they don't even have to say anything, really. You know, what they say doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, but god, they can just read each other like a book, and it is beautiful. Kristen, what's yours?
Mine is between Buffy and Willow when Willow's doing some research trying to figure out who the werewolf is. And Buffy says, anybody besides Larry fit our werewolf profile? And Willow says, there is one name that keeps getting spit out. Aggressive behavior, run-ins with authorities, about a screen full of violent incidents. And Buffy says, okay, most of those were not my fault.
That was pretty fun.
Love it. Oh, yeah. I love that they included Buffy. Like, it would be easy for them to just forget that Buffy would be on a list of violent offenders, mm-hmm, but she would be because she's at so many crime scenes. So I love that they included her.
Yeah. Ariana, did I steal yours?
Yeah, but that's fine. You can have it. Yeah, that was my favorite. It's adorable.
Yeah, it was really cute. Caitlin?
Mine was when they're talking about werewolves and Giles is describing them as, like, aggressive and everything. So Buffy's like average meh, an average dude. And Giles is like, yes, let's not jump to any conclusions. To which Buffy says, I didn't jump. I took a tiny step. And their conclusions were.
Oh. Buffy.
Oh, wordplay. Fabulous, fabulous wordplay.
Yeah. This is the Whedon dialogue. Maybe not at its absolute finest, but definitely one of the highlights. I just like the cadence, the word usage, the back and forth. It's really nice. All right, let's jump forward to episode 16, Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. In this episode, Xander attempts to use a magical roofie spell on Cordelia, and everyone's having a much more difficult time believing that it was all just a dream. Strap on your raincoat and ready your axe, because Xander is suddenly Sunnydale's most attractive bachelor. Cordelia breaks up with Xander on Valentine's Day to be cool with her snooty friends, thus infuriating our resident caveman. With Amy's newfound magic powers and some sleazy blackmail, Xander accidentally casts a spell on all of the women in town to find him to die for. After some creepy, rapey scenes with women both under and over the age of consent, Amy turns Buffy into a rat, and the townswomen form a love mob. Amy finally gets her shit together and reverses her two spells before Joyce or Willow can love Xander to death. And even though Xander is a walking sack of sewage, he still wins Cordelia's heart because, ooh, isn't it so dreamy when a boy uses the dark forces of hell to get into your pants? Yeah. I mean, oh, is there this much episode. Else to say? Really? Yes, where to start? That is true. First of all, love spells, potions, etc. They just don't work out.
No. I mean, he's right. It is basically like a roofie. Like, an emotional roofie.
Nothing good ever comes of them. Like, ever. It's always bad news. So the second I realized that's what this episode was going to be about, I'm like, oh boy. We're in for it. Because there's always problems.
I honestly kind of don't know what to say about this because the whole premise is like, it's fake anyway. It's fake love. It's not like Xander, even if he got Cordelia to fall in love with him so that he could break up with her, it wouldn't necessarily mean anything. And even if he got Buffy to, you know, fall in love with him or whatever, it also wouldn't mean anything. And it just, clearly he didn't think it through is basically what I'm saying, though. Are any of us surprised?
Yeah, I mean, I thought about if this episode had gone completely differently and he was able to put the love spell on Cordelia, I think it still would have been an interesting episode because watching him see Cordelia in love with him and realizing that that's not what he wants either would have been just as interesting as watching like an entire love mob like form and try and kill him. Like, it would have been problematic either way. They just decided to go with the Cordelia is the only one not in love with him, you know, version, which was totally fine. Just, like, this would not have ended well no matter how the spell turned out.
Ariana, I know I saw your tweets that you were just starting to warm up to Xander a little bit, and this kind of just totally ruined it for you.
Oh, I know. So I was finally like, you know what? Maybe I'm too hard on Xander. Like, maybe he is just, like, the typical, like, dumb teenage guy. Because I do think that he is better with Cordelia, like, than anyone else. I think that she is the one that he acts, like, most not gross to, like, most normal with. And since they'd been having a lot of scenes, I was like, you know what? He's not that bad. Then he does this dumb shit, so. Ugh.
Caitlin, how terrible is this episode for you?
Oh, it's so awful. This was the first one in the rewatch that I genuinely wanted to turn off partway through. It didn't help that it interrupted my Daredevil watching, so that was part of the problem, but I was just cringing so hard at everything going on, because it's just so awful seeing the way Xander is so willing to take away Cordelia's agency, and then ends up taking it away from every other woman, and there's not even that bad of repercussions for it.
No, and you know what was so even, like, more terrible? It's not even, like, he wanted to make her love him out of, like, desperation. Like, no, but I love her so much. I need her to love me. Because that, although still terrible, is at least, like, a normal human emotion. Like, he was like, no, I want her to love me so that then I can break her heart. So it was, like, an extra step of terrible.
Mm-hmm. Very vindictive.
Yeah. It's pretty awful all the way around. And I love how Giles just has no time for him. Because I'm like, same, Giles. He's the worst.
I did like Giles' reaction. It's just like, why would you ever think that's okay? Why would you ever do that? It was very good. So do you guys think that this is like, Xander can't come back from this, from what he's done in terms of your affection or lack thereof toward him? You know, are you just kind of writing him off at this point, or do you think that he can still continue to grow and get better?
I don't know. I just don't see his purpose really in this show, except for making me like hate men. So I don't know.
Maybe that is the purpose.
I mean, for me, as much, this episode is problematic. It's always going to be, all of these kinds of episodes always are. I mean, Smallville had a few of them, and they always drive you a little bit crazy. For me, I think Xander did grow a bit in this episode, or at least we saw that he's not always completely horrid. Like, yes, what he wanted to do to Cordelia and what ended up happening was really, really awful, and he never should have wanted that. Like, as a human being, he should have thought it through and been a better human being. But he was hurt, and he lashed out in a way he never should have. But he was hurt because Cordelia was being awful. We also saw him with Buffy, and we saw him be a better human being. So while there are some steps backwards for him, he's not written off in any way in my brain. Like, he's still Xander. He's still a teenager learning to deal with all of the crazy emotions going through his head, and bonus, there's all kinds of supernatural things at their disposal. So yeah, I don't like this episode. It's not going to be a favorite of mine by any stretch of the imagination, but it's, you know, it did get us some Xander scenes that we probably wouldn't have gotten elsewhere. Like, it's nice to see him, you know, not take advantage of Buffy and try his very best to get these ladies away from him and not take advantage of the opportunity that is presenting itself because of his awful behavior.
No, I understand that. And I know that that's like what they want us to see. But I think it's really sad that the most redeemable thing we can say about him in this episode is like, well, at least he didn't rape Buffy when he had the chance. Like, that's terrible. And I feel we keep giving him a pass by being like, well, he's just a teenage guy. But I do feel like that's not giving enough credit to, like, a lot of teenage guys who would not behave this way. I think that most decent humans wouldn't do this.
And I totally understand that, and I totally get it. I'm just saying, like, he not even just as a teenage guy, as a teenager. And, like, there are a lot of teenage girls who, if they were hurt this badly, and, I mean, this is a supernatural show, so it has consequences greater than anything, you know, this world could bring. But if there, you know, there are teenagers who, when hurt, lash out just like. So I find it hard to condemn him or something that. No, it's not a great decision. I agree. And the whole episode is chock full of problematic things. But, like, I don't think any character should be written off because he ultimately makes the right decision. His reasons for making the wrong decision at the beginning were not anywhere near what they should have been. Like, are problematic. But in the end, he does try to make things right. He does try to act. And any character trying to be better for me is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I don't know. Xander gives me emotional whiplash because sometimes I'm like, okay, you know, he's really funny and he's there obviously for comedic relief. And I like the fact that the guy of this trio isn't the one saving the day. A lot of the times he needs to be saved and he's kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, the useless one, whereas Buffy and Willow have those greater skills. I do enjoy that aspect of him, but then you get to episodes like this, and I do understand where Kristen's coming from, just because it's like you want him to be better, and in the end of this episode, he is, I would like to think, a little bit better. Does that mean that you can forget about what he did? No, absolutely not, and it's gross, and I would like to think that he learned his lesson, and I guess moving forward, we'll just have to see if he did, but I guess on the flip side of that, you know, how did you guys feel about the women of the episode? Because I got really uncomfortable when Jenny was coming on to him. It was bad. And Giles's reaction to that, I think, is what... It was pretty golden, though, because he was like, Xander, you're an idiot. Just stay here. And
yeah.
I did like that.
Mm.
That was actually my favorite scene, because of all of the women, I mean, they were all particularly gross, and especially like the moms and stuff. But I kind of liked Jenny's, because hers was like more subtle. Hers was more like, ooh, I think I'm intrigued. And then because Giles was there too at the same time, and I liked him being like, no, like, stay away. Like, trying to keep her away from him. So I thought that was kind of cute.
There's something really uncomfortable about a Xander-centric episode needing to have, like, the women out of control of themselves, like the loss of agency for the women for Xander to learn a lesson. There's something very uncomfortable about that for me. But I guess for me, that ties back to something that's still interesting. I think I talked about it in the last Xander-centric episode, that all his centric episodes seem to be romance-related in some way, which is so unexpected for a male character, which is very interesting to me. But he's always failing so hardcore at it and finds ways to do something even more awful with every, like, Xander-centric episode. So it continually makes me more uncomfortable, how he deals with romance, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying. Like, the way that they flip that trope on its head is really refreshing, but at the same time, it's hard to forget all of these things that he's done, too. And it's like, I don't know, for me at least, like, I want to like Xander. I really do, because he's funny, and I think when I was watching this when I was younger and I didn't get, you know, the consequences of everything that he was doing and what it actually meant for, you know, an adult woman watching this, it's hard for me to, like, walk away feeling differently, but I definitely do. And I want him to be better. I think that's my main thing. And sometimes he is, and then he goes and does something terrible. And like I said, it's just emotional whiplash. And I wish that they could kind of sort it out already. But I also wonder, you know, how much of this is on purpose, like you were saying, Caitlin?
It's hard to tell, because it's just... It's very uncomfortable for me. Like, you get to a Xander-centric episode, and it's like, oh, what icky thing is going to happen in this episode with Xander? And that's an uncomfortable place to be.
Mm-hmm. One of the other women that was back for this episode was Amy. And we see her kind of as a central point as well, which I think is interesting because... Unlike everyone else, she has some extra power, and so when she's going after Xander, she can really do something about it, which I think is interesting. I like that they've brought her back, though, that we see her just every once in a while, but this in particular, with the statue in the previous episode kind of warning us in a way that she was coming, foreshadowing it, I thought was really cool. Did you guys, Kristen, did you like seeing Amy back, or were you like, who's this chick?
I always love it when a series, like, remembers things about itself, and bringing back a character like Amy, who wouldn't have just disappeared. Like, she's a student at the school and may not be their bestie, but she's still around. So it's nice that they don't just forget about her and that she can, you know, reappear in an episode here and there. So yeah, I really liked having Amy back.
And Ariana, do you think there's going to be any consequences for the fact that she's now dipping into magic? Other than, obviously, the consequences of this episode.
Amy? Oh, I think Amy is going to be a big problem coming up in the future. I think they set her up. Like, as soon as she started, like, doing the homework thing, I was like, she sounds just like her mom.
Yeah, definitely. One of the most interesting parts of this episode, too, was the fact that Cordelia is unaffected and how that eventually makes her decide to be her own person and, you know, calling out her friends and that kind of thing. Ariana, I know you've been a big fan of Cordelia. How did you feel about her in this episode?
I really liked her in this episode, despite the fact that I am with her friends and think she can do so much better than Xander. I thought it was super cute how she does like him and she, like, lets herself like him. Like, she was wearing the stupid necklace and then she told off her friends because she's right. She isn't a sheep. She does what she wants.
Caitlin, you know, obviously having the whole series in your back pocket and everything, this episode, while not, like, super significant, I feel is a turning point for Cordelia. I mean, I don't think that's a spoiler or anything. It's pretty obvious that she makes this decision and she kind of just decides not to care what her friends think. Looking back, you know, do you like this episode for her bit?
For Cordelia's part, yes. For everything else, no. But I do like the way she deals with everything. I'd actually, like, looking at past episodes, kept thinking, how is she dealing, like, the more she gets involved with the group, like, how are her other friends reacting to this? And that was something I was actually wondering about, so we finally get to see it. And then the fact that she basically tells them off at the end is like, screw it. I know what I care about, and you guys are not it, I think is amazing for her, because we've seen how hard she has tried to be the queen bee, and then just to kind of say, I don't care, is amazing for her.
Yeah, I think this episode, you know, as much as it is a story about Xander, it's really important for Cordelia, because she started off being the mean girl in season one, and she grew very slowly, but in a kind of consistent way until this point, where clearly she is involved with the Scooby Gang. Like, she helps them do research. We've seen her whittling steaks. I mean, she's definitely there. I think they had to address the fact that she's been hanging out with them, and she's been, you know, kind of dating Xander on the sly. Her friends are obviously going to have an opinion about that, considering she was the queen bee. So I think they did need to pause and do this episode. Did they need to do it in the way that they did? I don't know. But in terms of Cordelia's storyline, I'm really glad we got to this point. Because like you, I've been like, okay, I know at one point this happens, but when and what are the exact circumstances? And I just think it was really important for her character to kind of establish, like, where her loyalties lie, and she did, and it was really satisfying. And then lastly with this episode, we have Oz. Yeah, Oz. Can he stop being perfect, or is that...
Never stop.
Yeah.
Never. Never change, Oz. Never change.
Kristen, what did you think about his little arc?
I mean, I just love Oz. Having trouble exactly remembering what his arc was in this episode. We watched it a while ago, Karen.
We did.
I think all he does pretty much is he shows up halfway through and he's like, hey, you suck. Thanks for making Willow cry all night.
Yeah, he punches Xander, which is right. And then hunts for the Buffy rat.
Yeah, and what's sad is that, like, Willow's behavior isn't super, like, irrational, giving her history. Like, it doesn't give anybody pause. Even though now she's, like, into Oz. And, yeah, and then he goes and he finds Buffy. This is, like, the one time he interacts with Buffy. Is looking for her as a rat.
Yeah, cool. I also like the complexity of, you know, like you were saying, with Willow, she obviously really likes Oz, but those feelings for Xander haven't gone away. Just like Xander still has feelings for Buffy, even though he clearly cares about Cordelia. It's not like, okay, I'm dating this person, therefore all emotional ties to this other person are gone. You know, they keep it complex and real, and I do appreciate that. All right, let's jump into favorite scenes. Like I said before, mine is just when we first see Cordelia is not affected, when Xander goes up to her at the table. It's just, and, you know, continuing throughout the episode, it's just really satisfying that happens, and is kind of just a little twist to it that I think is really appreciated. Kristen, what's yours?
Mine is Buffy and Xander's little moment post-spell where, you know, she basically thanks him. She knows exactly what he did and what could have happened, and just them acknowledging that things could have been really awful and he was not an awful human in that moment.
Hey, thanks for not raping me.
Ariana?
Mine was Giles's general reaction to Xander, which was the same as mine, but particularly when he was like trying to protect Jenny, because that was pretty cute. He was like, no, go away, Jenny.
And Caitlin?
Mine is when Cordelia turns on her little pack and is just like, you're a sheep. And it's her little speech, and it's amazing. And I was so proud of her.
Yeah, definitely a highlight of the episode. And going to favorite lines, mine's right at the top of the episode when Buffy tells Willow, go ahead, you want to say it. And Willow turns to Amy, is like, my boyfriend's in the band. And just how excited she is and how much she likes Oz. Again, super cute.
And she has a boyfriend and she's excited to have a boyfriend. Oh, she's so cute.
Kristen, what's yours?
Mine is between Buffy and Oz post-Buffy rat moments, and she says, hi, Oz, and he says, hi, and she goes, I seem to be having a slight case of nudity here, and he says, but you're not a rat, so call it an upside.
He's always so optimistic.
Yeah, just Oz being Oz, and I love every moment of it.
Ariana, what's your favorite line?
Mine was when Giles was like, I cannot believe that you are fool enough to do something like this. And then Xander goes, oh no, I'm twice the fool it takes to do something like this.
Truth. Caitlin?
Mine is just kind of a little interaction between Giles and Buffy. And Giles says, Buffy, might I have a word? And she says, have a sentence even. Just, and it takes him a second to like get what she said, and then he kind of laughs. Like, his reaction is so cute. Like, he's gotten used to the way she talks to him, and I love their little interactions.
Yeah, that was actually my favorite line, because it doesn't even mean anything, but it's just so funny, and it's really cute the way that he kind of stops and goes, oh, I get it. All right, so again, contact information. If you would like to email us, you can do so at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at re_watchable. You can also comment on this post on hypable.com or any of our other Buffy-centric posts. And you can find us on Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. As always, we really appreciate if you can give us 5 stars on iTunes. It helps other people find us. And we just like your feedback. If you rate us 5 stars, then I will give you a massage because you're so tense and it's more of a hot night, don't you think? Or not. We'll just have to see what happens. Jumping into listener feedback, we have an email from Bridget on Willow's backwards attitude regarding femininity. At the self-defense gym class, Willow reminds Buffy that she needs to pretend to be weak like all other girls in order to blend in. So I guess it's not okay for people to think that Buffy is just strong and badass. People don't have to know she's the Slayer. She could just be really fit and already trained in self-defense. I guess being a woman means being weak.
This made me so angry. Because, like, I did kung fu for quite a few years, and actually that move that they were doing, like, where you flip the person, is actually not, it doesn't take, like, strength or anything. It's all about leveraging. Mm-hmm. And, like, my little sister, she's 5'2 and 95 pounds, and she can flip like a grown man. So that made me angry that they were like, oh, no, you have to be, like, you can't be strong because you're a woman, so...
And it's pointless because, like, she has stood up for people multiple times already, so most of these jocks already know that she's a badass anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I think in the end, like, it was just really satisfying seeing her flip him anyway and being like, well, there you go. It was pretty nice. But, yeah, I think it is interesting, and I actually took self-defense in gym class, too, and same thing, Ariana. Like, it's you... There were all kinds of guys in those classes, like really tall, really big, and any of the girls could flip them, because it's not about strength. It's about momentum and just learning how to do the move. So, unfortunately, yeah, but in the end, Buffy kind of gets her jab in anyway. Kristen, would you like to take this comment on Hypable from Laura?
Sure. Laura Juergensmeyer says, "These two episodes, Surprise and Innocence, were the turning point for me on Buffy when I first watched a few years ago. Up until then, I was still kind of meh about the show. I'm so glad we finally got to them and really excited to continue the rest of the series with y'all." I can totally see that. Like, absolutely. Those two episodes were what I've been waiting for from Buffy. Like, I knew that there was some of the Monster of the Week stuff. Like, I knew we were going to get some lighthearted, you know, I didn't know we were getting a praying mantis person, but, you know. But yeah, I've been waiting for the really deep mythological, like, crazy, intense stuff. And so I was really, really happy with Surprise and Innocence. They really affected me as well. So I'm glad you really liked them.
Oh, I was so dreading watching them on rewatch because they're so painful.
Yeah.
I knew they were coming and I was like, I cannot deal with these. Like, I'm going to go cry in a corner instead of watching them.
My saving grace was being able to watch Kristen watch them, which I know sounds creepy, but, you know, I'm owning it. But, like, her reactions to everything, it was just amazing.
They were probably the most intense Buffy feels I've had, and I, like, yelled and threw things, and, yeah, it was, it was very, very rough. But the good kind of pain, right? Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, definitely. All right, and then from Twitter, Caitlin, would you like to grab this first one?
Sure. Emmy Foss says, "Fun fact about the whole rat thing in Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. It was due to Sarah being on SNL that week, and therefore she couldn't film as much." So, good to know.
That is good to know. That's cute. I didn't realize that.
Me neither. Interesting. And then last one, Ariana?
Mandy K at Mandy K said, "Rewatching Buffy thanks to Rewatchable, and I just got goosebumps when the Buffy Angel Loves theme started playing in Surprise. Also, that scene will never be the same to me now that I know that Joss did the sex noises."
Oh my god.
Gross.
Yeah. I edited last week's episode, and so, you know, I was listening to it, and we got to that part, and I was also wondering where the title came in from, because I think it was Brittany titled it, "Weed and Sex Noises," and I was like, okay. And, yeah, I'm like, well, I did not know that, and now I'm afraid to rewatch. Now that I do know that, it's going to be interesting. All right, well, that's it for us this week. Thank you for joining us once again, and we'll be back next week, of course, for another couple of episodes of Buffy. But until then, I'm Karen.
I'm Kristen.
I'm Ariana.
And I'm Caitlin.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.